Hi, friends. I'm Pearson Cross. Welcome to Bayou de Beltway. Today, we're talking to the policy director of the Louisiana Budget Project, Ms. Stacy Roussel. And we're going to be talking about the budget, the legislative session, and social wellness here in Louisiana. How are we doing on a number of levels? First, a little background on Ms. Roussel. She was born in New Orleans, so she's a native. She grew up in the North Shore, went to North Shore High, Slidell, LSU for college in international studies, and then got an MBA and an MA in public policy, and then the master's in business administration, both from the University of Maryland, College Park. And then she pursued a career in development and raising money and doing all kinds of really interesting things before she came back to Louisiana about 5 years ago, and has been policy director at Louisiana Budget Project for about 2 years. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pearson. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So let's dive right in. We're heading into a legislative session. This is the state fiscal session because we're in an odd numbered year. And what's going to happen? What should we look for? What I know you focus really on different kinds of social programs. So what's the story?
Well, it's going to be an interesting year. You're absolutely right. We're in a fiscal session. What's more, we are in the first fiscal session of Governor Edwards' second term. And so it's really, a unique opportunity for lawmakers to look at tax reform, to look at our tax system critically and how it does and doesn't work for the majority of Louisianans, and specifically low and moderate income households. So we'll get into a little bit more of that as we go along. But I think, you know, one of the things that we often hear about the state budget is that we hear that it's too big. And the truth is that it's simply not, and that also we are leaving so many of the priorities and so many of the folks that we don't want to leave behind, we're leaving them behind. So if I could share just a little bit of information by way of context for your listeners.
Please.
The Legislative Fiscal Office, there is at the Capitol, part of the legislature, did a study of the past couple of decades to look at how the state share of the budget compared to other states. And they've looked at it in relation to the state economy. So we're comparing apples to apples. And what they found is that our budget is consistently in the bottom third of states for the vast majority of years that they looked at. And we're really always in the bottom half. So of course, the state budget is comprised of federal funds, dedicated funds, and then state funds that come from each of us as we pay taxes and our corporate tax base as well. And the state share is really quite modest. So it's important that people kind of understand that. And under, you know, we'll also get into a little bit of the cost that's associated with such a modest contribution at the state level.
Now, by modest contribution, of course, when people talk about the budget, they typically say, I think John Bel Edwards proposed a $36.6 billion budget, and people go, geez, that's a lot of money. Actually, that state share, Louisiana taxpayers are contributing about $9.6 billion. So that's what, about a fourth of that budget total?
That's right. It's about a fourth. And you know, one of the things that that's important within our state budget, and really one of the largest shares, comes from federal dollars, and specifically federal dollars that support health care in our state through the Medicaid program. And, of course, in the Medicaid program, we have those dollars coming in, but it's private companies and private doctors and private insurers that money flows through and to into the economy. You know, there have been some studies looking at how Medicaid expansion specifically has impacted states and states in the South who have taken it up. And, of course, we took up Medicaid expansion in 2016. And what they found is that it's really had a positive impact on keeping rural hospitals open and funded. It's also decreased the amount of money that states have to pay in uncompensated care costs. So what we really want to put into context as you think about the state budget is that the share of federal dollars coming in is really having a strong and positive impact on the economy throughout the state through the Medicaid budget. The other thing that I think, is important and fits really well with the point that you've made is that there's only a small portion of the budget that's considered discretionary. We can't repurpose those federal dollars for Medicaid, nor would I want us to. Those are dedicated. There are also other dedicated, other funds that are not discretionary. So when we talk about having to make cuts to the budget or when we are looking for where we can fund things, we're talking about a very small portion of the general fund, which is funded with those state monies. And so lawmakers have very limited discretion on where they can allocate dollars, which is part of what we'll get into as we, just talk a little bit more about the tax base and the need to create a little more funding so that we can really address some of the priorities that we as a state have held up.
I was thinking back, of course, it was back in the day, we actually did allocate Medicaid dollars to other kinds of expenses in an elaborate shuffling of funds experiment that got us in trouble with the feds, and we had to ask forgiveness and I think maybe even pay back some money. So now we know that the feds' money can't be just substituted around, although there's some things going on right now that I think have roiled or upset the general budgetary process, and certainly thinking about, I'm speaking specifically of the American Rescue Act, Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion bill. And I understand that's sending a lot of money our way. And are there going to be strings on that money?
Well, that's a great question. There are some strings, and I would argue that these are important strings that I think are probably good for the state overall. So it's a large aid package, and it's there for a reason. It's there because so many of our friends and neighbors throughout the state have really been hit hard by COVID. For some of your listeners, life may have just been impacted on the margins, or it may have been impacted in ways where they could still get through. Maybe you're working remotely, maybe the kids are home some, and that creates pressures. But for other households, it's had a devastating impact. We're talking about child hunger going up in the state and renters being behind and needing to catch up, and we can talk more in detail about those. But I do want, listeners, when they hear these big dollar amounts, can sometimes think, well, gee, that seems like a lot of money. So it's important to understand the context of the need that money is there to help address. So the state, as you said, the state as well as local governments are going to be receiving money through the American Rescue Plan. The strings that are attached to that specifically are that this money cannot be used to fund tax cuts. It also can't be used to fund pensions. And that makes a lot of sense if you think about it, because this is not money that's recurring. It has to be spent by 2024. So you don't want to cut taxes and replace some of that need for services with money that's going to go away. So those are the strings, and there are a lot of ideas about how to spend the money. We would like, at the Louisiana
I was just
budget
about
project,
to ask you. Go ahead. How would you spend the money in your view? What would be the best use?
Well, for folks who, may not be familiar with Louisiana Budget Project, we're, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that focuses, as our middle name suggests, on the state budget, and specifically on policies that impact low and moderate income households. So that's our perspective and our priority. So we've been thinking about this American Rescue Plan dollars and really would offer some guiding principles on how we should think about how to spend the money. And so there are three principles that I think are helpful. The first is prioritizing investments for the Louisianans who need it most. And so we've talked a little bit about what that looks like for families who have lost jobs, lost housing, even lost loved ones. The second principle is using investments to correct racial and economic inequities in the state. And so as we delve into the tax system a little bit and talk about where we are today with the tax system, we can talk a little bit about those disparities and how they show up and the ability of, you know, communities of color to build wealth over time. The third guiding principle is investing in human and physical infrastructure that will provide lasting public benefits. This is just an incredible opportunity that the state has to use dollars to help build a stronger foundation that we can have for years to come. So when we talk about that human infrastructure, we're talking about investing in workforce, investing in better systems within the state government so that when people need to access benefits, it works well, not only for the people that need to access it, but the agencies too. They're working overtime to make sure that people have the help that they need. So we'll also be publishing on some of the ideas around, you know, getting money to people who need it in the state and how we can kind of live these principles. But those are the broad principles that would just really encourage lawmakers and folks who are listening who are you know, getting active or already very active to really think about the folks in the state who need this help.
Well, you know, let me reintroduce you just for a second. We were talking to Ms. Stacy Russell, who is policy director at the Louisiana Budget Project, and is giving us her insight into what the state needs to do from an economic and budgetary standpoint. Of course, you know, you can really get people in the legislature's interest if you, you know, dangle money in front of them. So there are lots and lots of ideas about how to spend that money. Certainly, now you had pointed out people who need it most. Now, I imagine one of the criticisms of the $1,400 payments that went out was that people said, well, those payments go out to a really broad range of people who may not be suffering. So who would be the people, in your estimation, who need it most in Louisiana?
Sure. Well, if we back up before the pandemic hit, so if we, you know, go back to the beginning of 2020, we looked at the census data, the most recent census data, and we can see that Louisiana has the second highest poverty rate in the nation. And that holds true for children as well. There are over 800,000 folks in the state who live below poverty. So we went in.
What was that figure again? How many people?
Over 800,000.
800,000 people in Louisiana who live in poverty. That's roughly one in five, somewhere between one in five and one in six.
That's exactly correct. Exactly correct. And I'll go further to share that of that, you know, it's about 857,000, 280,000 are children. And of those, about half, about 140,000 are in deep poverty, which is below half of the poverty line. So it's important to understand that Louisiana went into a pandemic not only with high poverty rates, but also, you know, an uptick in the uninsured rate for children. All of this was happening pre-pandemic. Now, we're going to have to wait until the fall when Census releases its annual numbers so we can get a glimpse of what 2020 was like, because those numbers are 2019 that I shared. But the Census, knowing that we were just in an unprecedented time in 2020, stood up what's really as close to real-time data as we can get, and they call it the Household Pulse Survey. So some of your listeners may be familiar with this. And we are able to access some of this data on the state level. So the most recent that we have, I pulled some of this for us this morning, 23% of Louisianans are behind on rent. 19% of households reported that the children were not getting enough food to eat. 7.8% of household of an unemployment rate. And then we also have high rates of folks borrowing from friends and family and having difficulty just covering the household expenses. And that percentage is 43% of households, well over a million, just having trouble covering household expenses. Okay. So one other, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, go ahead.
One other statistic to just, another lens to lay on this is the United Way's ALICE report. We are so incredibly fortunate to have a tremendous network of United Ways across the state and to be selected to have a report done. This is the Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed, and this, that's ALICE. So if you, you know, if you are out and about and you're, you know, you meet someone who is working and just really not earning enough, not able to make those ends meet, having a hard time, that's ALICE. And according to United Way, that is half of our state population, not making enough to get by and manage the necessities for our families. So in response to the question, who is it that is most in need, I hope some of those statistics help to bring it to life a little bit.
Absolutely. But let's address it. Like people will say, well, this is a unicorn event. It's not going to be repeated. So there's this enormous amount of money in state terms coming out to the state. But Louisiana has long-term needs, and as you point out, really significant poverty issues in those. So how can we use this money, in your opinion, to address some of those long-term issues, knowing that this is probably one-time money?
Well, we will certainly hear, as you said, a lot of ideas. And, you know, I'm not going to try to spend all the money right now with you.
Come on. That sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun.
Who doesn't like to spend money?
But I'll offer some insights.
Okay.
One of the things that that you're going to hear a lot about is the Employment Trust Fund. The Unemployed Insurance Trust Fund. And there's going to be a real call to use, I think a large share of Louisiana's American Rescue Plan to replenish that fund. And, you know, what I would say is that the way that Louisiana has structured its contributions, we are going to be asking businesses for a very modest contribution to help rebuild that fund, and it will rebuild over time. It will come back to where it needs to be. And I would argue that a better stimulus for the state is to put the money in the pockets of people who need it most. We could raise our unemployment benefit, unemployed insurance benefit, to even half of the state median wage. Right now, Louisiana has either the lowest or the second lowest, depending on how you look at it, unemployment insurance benefit. And so it has been a lifesaver that the federal enhanced unemployment benefit has been there to help families get a little bit closer to able to pay their bills. But many of those families, as we just talked about, are still not able to. So our state unemployment insurance benefit is woefully inadequate. Would love to see that increased. We would also, you know, love to be able to help families who need that extra cash assistance. It's really the money that makes the difference in people being able to catch up on rent, catch up on utilities, catch up on debt that they've been accruing, maybe on credit cards if they have them, or borrowing from friends and family, and get closer to whole so that as we recover and as we rebuild as a state, those people are not left behind. They can fully participate in the economy, and that money will trickle up through businesses because we know that people who make lower incomes are spending a larger portion of that money. They're not able to invest it. They're out there spending it in the local economy. And so that's really what we anticipate and where we'd like to see that money go is into the pockets of people who need it and can spend it.
Now, going back, I think the maximum unemployment benefit in Louisiana is $247 a week, as I recall. Mm-hmm. That's the figure that comes to mind, which, as you say, I think is lowest or second lowest in the United States. So certainly we're not making anyone rich when they get on unemployment. Despite that, the unemployment fund is way down. I think the rainy day fund is down, and I've heard legislators be talking about that as well. Other ways to help the people who need it right now, child tax credit, do some things like that. So what can we do in terms of attacking child poverty? I guess that's the question. So you just said that there were around certainly 280,000 people, children in Louisiana who are in poverty, and some of those in desperate poverty. And what can we do to get money in their pockets using this money?
So, Pearson, I just really appreciate that question. I'm gonna share a little bit of information specifically as you alluded to the child tax credit. Pre-pandemic in 2019, the National Academies of Science were asked to put together a report on what it would take to reduce child poverty by half in the United States. In that report, which is a long report, so I'll provide some highlights for folks, but you can find it online. They estimated that child poverty in the U.S. is costing us, in all of the different adverse outcomes that come from that, anywhere from $800 billion to a trillion per year in the national economy. So one of the things we say at LBP is that poverty charges interest. And if we want to get ahead of the bills that we've been building up with this, you know, with child poverty that has gone unaddressed in the state, one of the most powerful tools that was highlighted in that report is the child tax credit. Now, in Louisiana, because we have such a high level of child poverty, the American Rescue Plan provides a child tax credit, but it's temporary. And we have greater need in the state. And so we've just recently published a report that outlines what a child tax credit in Louisiana could do. So there are currently six states that provide a child tax credit. We want to add Louisiana to that list of states that are really prioritizing kids. And what we could do is we could give every family anywhere from $200 to $500 per child per year as a tax credit on their state return to help pay for the cost of raising kids. And this would be, you know, the slightly more generous benefit for the youngest children and the lowest income households, slightly less generous for those of us who maybe can afford to do a little bit more. So, you know, moderate income households would have a little bit less, and older kids would be a little bit less. So the most generous benefit focused on low-income households with the youngest kids. And we all know that little kids, as wonderful and precious as they are, take a lot of resources to raise. And so this child tax credit is, you know, something that I hope that the legislature will take up and take seriously and understand what a difference it could make in our state. What we modeled would reach about 500,000 households in Louisiana, which sounds about right, given some of the statistics that we've talked about.
So that would be one way that you could reach out and help people who are in the lower income brackets who do have children try to meet their bills and make their necessities. That's a interesting way to go. I'm sure there are a number of people who are thinking about that now, including you guys. Let's talk about the tax system a little bit. And if you just turned in, we're having a conversation with Ms. Stacy Russell this morning, policy director at the Louisiana Budget Project. The tax system in Louisiana, this came out partly as a result of LSU's 2021 Louisiana survey. How is our tax structure in the state? And is our state legislature going to take a whack at our tax structure, or are they going to be prevented from doing so by the Biden Rescue Plan, the American Rescue Plan Act?
Well, I'll take the second question first. The legislature is absolutely able to take up tax reform. They're not able to use rescue plan dollars for tax cuts, but I would argue, and I hope we've laid out for folks a pretty compelling case as to why tax cuts really are not, they don't make sense for Louisiana, given so many of our unfunded priorities anyway. So our legislators do have an opportunity starting next Monday when the session opens in Baton Rouge to take up tax reform. Now, as to the first question, I'm so glad that you asked. I do love taxes as far as being able to talk about them and share information about them, because we're all impacted, but we may not understand the broader, bigger picture. So thank you for the question.
It's the first time I've ever heard someone say I love taxes, but go ahead.
So in Louisiana, we have what's known as a regressive tax structure. And what that means is we ask households earning the least to pay the most when it comes to combined state and local tax rates. So as a share of their income, the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy has done some great analysis, and so we have those tax rates I can share with you. So Louisiana households in the bottom 20% of earners, and that's about $17,000, they pay a combined local and state sales tax rate of 11.1%. That's the share of their income. Those in the top 20%, by comparison, pay 7.3%. And the top 1% of households, top, 1% of earners, pay 6.1%. So you can see it's upside down. What we would want to see is to have that structure brought into line so that more of our revenue is paid by those who can most afford it. Now, this does have racial equity implications, too. Our partners at the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy recently were able to provide some information around the tax rates by race. And what you see is that Black households pay the highest combined tax rate, which is 8.8%, and white households pay the least at 8.2%, with a state average of about 8.4%. So over time, this is having a really detrimental impact, and it's helping to perpetuate some of those statistics that we talked about as far as poverty in the state. And we didn't talk about the racial breakdown of the poverty statistics, but they are what you might expect. The white citizens in our state have a much lower poverty rate than Black, and that holds true, especially when we talk about children. So these are issues we do need to wrestle with.
And we are going to be wrestling with them when the legislature gets into session, and I know you will be watching that, so perhaps we'll have you back and you can tell us how the legislature did. We've been talking this morning with Ms. Stacy Russell, of the Policy Director of the Louisiana Budget Project. Thanks for joining the show.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.